is Phoenix 98 FM. 98 FM.
Now, very good morning. You're listening to Michelle Ward on Phoenix 98 FM. Been boring my guests. We've been chatting off air, but I bet you wished you hadn't come in so early now. Now, I'm joined in the studio by writer John Haldon, who's here to talk about his debut children's book, School Out of Time, which is released on the 29th of June. And we'll talk about how you can get hold of a copy as well. So, very nice to meet you.
Yeah, nice to meet you, Michelle, as well.
Now, the book, you've got written a book. This is your debut book called School Out of Time.
Yes.
Had you written anything before you actually sort of sat down to write this book?
Well, I wrote a number of little bits and pieces, just, and I came across one that I'd written about 5 years ago, and it was... It formed the opening of this book, and then I rewrote the whole thing around it, and then it's hardly there anymore. But it was an idea about time travel that I got, and sort of unintended time travel. Someone making a record on the end of South End Pier. Of course, I have to explain to children what a record was now. I've got one in front of me. Finding themselves somehow or other transported back. So that's where the idea came from.
And you've got your robes on today.
I've got my robes because I'm dressed as one of my not very nice characters.
Yeah.
My Mr. Motland is a the epitome of a bad teacher. He's a bully and he's nasty and he's lazy and he's basically a slob. But I don't think I can quite beat a slob. I hope I can't.
So the book is set, so just to give an outline of the book is set in 1964.
And today. The main character, or one of the main characters, goes backwards and forwards, but the other character comes from now and does go back and attempt to sort things out in 1964 with modern technology and knowledge and attitudes. Mm. So it's a mixture of the two times, really.
What sort of age group is this aimed at, John?
It's really 9 to 14, sort of year 5 to year 9, those are in the know of school systems. That's the thing, and I've been reading bits and pieces of it to in a school where I go and support, and it's met with tremendous enthusiasm and some very, very nice remarks from the head teacher, and she's actually written to the parents and saying what a good book it is and recommending it, so that's high praise indeed as far as I'm concerned. The lead characters are Larry and Abigail. Larry is from 1964 and Abigail is from now, and they meet one another and try and help one another out.
I have things to do with time travel. I always think maybe they... Do you reckon they've invented anything for time travel yet, or do you don't think it's possible?
Oh, no, well, I don't know. I don't understand the physics. I've looked at the quantum physics of it, and in some ways it looks as though it's almost possible, but I don't know. It doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem possible to me.
They'd never tell us if it was true. They'd never tell us, would they? They could be altering things all the time. We wouldn't know.
Well, this is true. This is true, yes. I'm working on a sequel now, which is... It's going to... Without giving too much away, because I'm only about a third of the way through it, but it involves sort of people coming from now and going to the 1940s.
Yeah.
But that's somewhere in the future. There's another book in between the two, but that's a different age group. So.
And just to give you an idea about the book as well, I'm just going to read the back of it. It's got when 12-year-old Larry Bowler, living in 1964, listens to a mysterious recording. He finds himself transported from his home to his school, but 54 years into the future. How could a boy from 1964 survive in the modern school? In any case, Larry is sure no one will believe that he's from 1964. So that gives you a little outline of the book. It sounds absolutely fantastic. You grew up in East London. What part of?
Hymers Park, Walthamstow, Chingford, that sort of area.
Your mum and dad, I do like this bit, because you were saying about, in part of your biography, about rationing.
Yeah.
Because you were obviously born after the war, but rationing continued for about 10 years after?
No, it was about 3 years after.
3 years after. Yes. So did they have this sweet shop during when there was rationing, or is this after?
They did have a shop during, but that was actually in Brentwood Road in Romford. They had that at that time. But we moved to a sweet shop in about 1956 in Harms Park, at which time the rationing had finished. Yes, I know. I wish they'd kept my ration book. They had a ration book for orange juice and things for me, apparently.
I
never saw it.
You can't imagine that now, can you?
You can't.
There would be no friendly queues now.
I don't think they would. I don't think we could cope anymore.
Not anymore. So tell us about the sweet shop.
I think the thing was, my friends could never understand that someone had to pay for the sweets. They used to say, oh, you must be great. You can just eat all the sweets you want and help yourself. And I suppose as a result of that, I'm not a great sweet fan, actually. I like chocolate, but I don't really like anything else. Yeah, I used to help when I suppose from about the age of about eight. When the shop was busy, I would sometimes help. And we sold other things as well. We sold groceries and we sold paraffin from an old Anderson shelter at the back of the garden and so on. So, yes.
What was your favourite sweets growing up?
I don't know. I used to like something called a jamboree bag, and it used to be a mixture of sweets, and you used to have little lucky charms and things in it, and sometimes cards as well. So I used to like to have one of those. That was a treat. So,
you befriended Dustman, I read.
I think they befriended me. I think I was a fairly outgoing child before I went to school, and living in sort of east of London or east end of London. I used to know the milkman and the road sweep and everyone. And when the dustman came round, I used to talk to them, and they used to give me rides on a dust cart just along the street. And sometimes they had really good treats for me. I remember coming home with a sort of plastic case with stuffed Victorian birds in, and my parents not being particularly impressed with it. Another time, though, I came home with a proper violin and violin case and everything that someone had put out. But I never learned to play it, sadly.
Did you keep it, or was that disappeared as well?
Well, I kept it for a while, and then I think it got played with and broken, and then eventually went back to the bin men, not quite in such a good state as it came from. But,
And you've appeared on television?
Oh, I appeared on television when I was 12, yes. I was on a programme called Junior Crisscross Quiz. It was with a footballer called Danny Blanchflower. He'd been a footballer for Northern Ireland and Spurs, and he decided to host this show after. So that was a great treat to meet him and go on television as well.
Any of you seen it, or have you been able to track down a copy?
Well, no, it's not. It doesn't exist anymore. I saw it was recorded at the time, and I remember I wrote and said, could I have a copy of the film? And they wrote back and said, well, actually, it's on videotape, as it was then, so you can't have it. And I'm sure that's been long since scrubbed, and probably just as well, I think.
You've now retired, but you were working as a teacher. So when you left university, is that what you did straight after university?
Yes, I did. I taught for about 40 years in secondary school.
How's it changed from when you first started at school?
Great deal. It's become very much more pressurised for teachers and for pupils, very, very much more pressurised. In many ways, it's a lot better as well. I think it's schools are more friendly places. I think more people have more time for children than they used to have in days gone by.
What subjects did you actually teach?
Mostly I taught IT, but the last 2 years of my teaching I was part-time teaching sixth form law, but that was just at the end. But IT was really my subject.
You're still working, although you have retired. You're busy now because of the book, but you're still going back in 2 days a week.
I go into, as a volunteer, I go 2 days a week into primary school, which I absolutely love.
Yeah.
And I don't know that age of children very well. I'm getting to know them a lot better. They're lovely and bubbly and enthusiastic and love what they're doing. I listen to reading, but I also support teaching and do little bits and pieces of teaching of IT and things like that.
Yeah.
So, yes, I wouldn't miss that.
So thanks for coming in. If you do want to get a copy of the book, it's out. Is it Pegasus Publishers?
It's Pegasus Publishers. You can get it from their site. You can buy it online, Amazon, and you can buy it in bookshops. Or there's a link to the Pegasus site from my own website. Am I allowed to say it?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
It's www.johnhowden.co.uk, or my Facebook page. If you search for John Howden Author, one word, you'll find my Facebook page.
And it's Halden, and that's I've said it. H wrong. Say H for me, you're a teacher.
H.
There, see, I know.
Michelle, listen to where you're supposed to say this.
we were talking about language earlier, talking about how sloppy the Essex Estuary accent is, which is the one that I've got. I feel really bad now. I felt I was told off then. Thanks very much
See
for coming
after.
In. Thanks very much for coming. That's John Howden. And if you want to find out about him, go to his website. Also, the book is called School Out of Time, and it is for 9 to 14 year
That's
olds.
That's right. But anyone who grew up in the 60s will find quite a lot about school in the 60s as well. So they'd enjoy it too.
Brilliant. Lovely. Thanks ever so much for
Thank
coming in.
Thank you very much, Michelle.
You're welcome. Right. It's 11.